This is Dolphinville Radio, brought to you by Photon.net, your internet service provider. Dolphinville Radio, welcome. This is Douglas Dolphinus. We're sitting here overlooking Kealakekua Bay in wonderful Hawaii. And our guest today is somebody who hasn't been with us for almost 18 months, maybe a little bit more, Dr. Lori Moore from the mainland, who happens to be visiting us on the occasion of a couple of workshops that she's conducted. So welcome back to the show, Lori.
Thank you, Dolphinus. It's just a great, great joy to be back on this land and surrounded by the animals and sea beings and spirits and nature and the people that are here and the people that I brought with me.
Yeah.
They've been a delight, sheer delight.
I had an opportunity to share some time and space with your people in the water and afterwards. So it was a delightful group of people, diversified, all age groups and different backgrounds, but they all seemed to have a cohesiveness that was really pleasant. It must be reflective of you. But before we get into what the workshops were about, I think our listeners might be interested to learn from the last time that we talked. You had just shared your experience, wonderful experience, about the reincarnation of your cat, and it seems like he's come back and added some new layers of information to your life and also shifted your work a great deal. So let's start there.
A great deal. All my work now, although it continues to be healing work for the humans and evolutionary work for the humans, it's guided by the animals and by nature. Jesse Justin Joy did reincarnate, and he's pretty much guiding my way now. I feel I'm more his assistant. He has a book coming out. I have a book coming out called The Cat's Reincarnation and Unconditional Trust and Love, which really his choice to leave his body, come back in another body, and draw to my attention the difference between eternity and the costumes we wear in our short incarnations has been great inspiration and a catalyst for everything. His own book is called 111 Messages from Jesse Justin Joy to Humanity, and he dictated it. And it's very sweet, very inspiring. It's short proverbs that are all based on intentions, and all of the animals seem to communicate, as I perceive them, through intentions. They don't have a lot of added analysis. Their viewpoint comes through intentions. They're in the act of creation and receiving grace at all times, which is what I think we are happiest when we're allowing ourselves to notice that our hearts actually are doing, even when our minds are making up all kinds of other things. So we're very excited because I've joined forces with Zenpo Arts, and we have a whole product line coming out, hopefully in the fall, sometime in the next few months. The two books I mentioned, a video, a DVD called Unconditional Awakening, Living a Miraculous Life. And Zenpo Arts has followed my work from California to Hawaii, filming the workshops on land, filming the workshops in the water, filming one-on-one work, filming a lot of work with animals. So the video should be very, the DVD should be very inspiring and assist people and how to return to a state of living life as a miracle. We also have a DVD coming out called Couples Journey into Bliss, and it's three couples. We had a couple who's been together for about 20 years. We have a couple who's been together a few years, and we had a couple who'd only been together for about 90 days. And we took them through a process to help them begin to look at what are their own individual limits to experiencing unconditional joy, love, and bliss. Mm. And how will they bring that at some point into the relationship? And would they like to work with that so when that tendency or pattern comes up, they can do something else instead? Mm. So we had a very exciting full day, and we filmed the whole thing, and we'll share the highlights on that DVD. Mm. There's a Divine Mother a chant and music DVD coming out. There's a comedy DVD called Dr. Lori Moore and Clients, as I've transcended or transformed or something, transitioned, that's the word I'm looking for, transitioned away from the psychotherapy modality. I found that people coming in, as I probably mentioned in your last show, and talking a lot about their problems were just making themselves miserable, and I didn't see that I was serving anybody by being a garbage disposal for problems. you can go outside and tell the earth your problems and with great love and gratitude, and she's so big mm-hmm. that you can ask her to take those and transform the energy. Mm. I myself cannot be a garbage disposal and transform the energy of other people's problems. It doesn't do them any good. Mm-hmm. They need to make a decision to focus on what their intentions are, what they do want in life, and find ways to release the rest. And I still assist people in that process. And that's what a lot of us were doing here in Hawaii. We had a beautiful group of people, really heart-based. And I asked everyone to engage on a daily basis in a practice, 7 practices. The first practice that we were working with was to receive each being that you encounter with gratitude and sensitivity. So the being could be the sun, it could be your person, your human friend, it can be a dolphin, it can be a cat. But to really assume that that being is in your space, in your life, for the greatest good. And so to receive them with gratitude and sensitivity. And second of all, to receive them as perfect as they are. Assume in the divine plan of all things that whatever they're doing, whether in that moment they're acting from their high self or their low self, that's just one way of phrasing it, whether they're acting out of intention and inspiration or for forgetfulness, retracting or an expansion, it doesn't matter. They're you. They are you.
Wow.
We were really practicing the 7 practices, and I'll continue to say what the rest are, so as to take ourselves back to a state of oneness.
Mm-hmm.
I found with the animals, the dolphins and the whales, that when we're in their grace, we are very happy because we are taken to oneness or unconditional joy or manifestation or intention. But we're humanity, and ultimately we need to learn how do we work with these bodies, these personalities, and create that consistently for ourselves. And so just being in the grace is fun and exciting, but my question is always, now when the animals aren't there, how do I take this back? What can I do that it facilitates making this easier? So these practices were so that all of us could facilitate ourselves and making it easier to be in those states among each other.
Hmm.
Number 3 was to honor your limits, inclinations, and limitlessness. I had observed at a workshop prior to this that I was teaching that when I invited people to observe their limitlessness, it became a dogmatic structure people were assuming I was referring to. So I found myself on the roller coaster ride. During the couples workshop, we had blindfolded everyone and took them on a journey, a surprise journey. We ended up at the roller coaster ride, and I asked them when they reached the top to be very aware of the limits they had posed on themselves, and then as they went down the hill, to let those go. Well, suddenly there became this great energy going towards people putting their hands up in the air on the roller coaster. And people were talking about, I like to put my hands up on the roller coaster because I'm open to life. And I curled up into almost like a fetal position. I wasn't sure why, because I've always loved the roller coaster, and I found myself getting more and more scared. And so I curled way up in this little like ball on the roller coaster, and I realized that there was a fear in the air as well as openness. And while people were engaging in an armed body posture that supposedly represented openness, they were not really allowing their fear to be okay.
Mm.
I'm not talking about fear that's made up of hatred or greed or things that we don't need. I'm talking about a natural tendency for the body. If you're about to go off the cliff, the body will bring that to your attention so that you can harmonize or do something. And I felt that I had kind of taken all the fear for everyone, because somehow there was this idea that fear wasn't okay.
Mm.
And so I shared that with the group, that what I learned on the roller coaster ride was that my limits were fine and that there is no right or wrong way to do it. And after feeling that experience, I wanted to bring to this next group something different, where each person would feel really safe to trust his or her own limits, and not to do things because I wanted them to or because their mind thought it was better, but because it was what they felt was right for them or not right for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a really interesting that I had picked that rule, because There was one person on each trip, a different person each trip, who had very good ability to set boundaries with people in a loving way.
Mm-hmm.
And I consider this to be a canine trait that I'm not so good at and I'm aspiring towards. The canines, the dogs, always have their limits down. Actually, cats are pretty good too. If you go too far in a cat's territory, a little scratch will come your way, but it can come your way very lovingly.
Mm-hmm.
And a second later, it's obvious that all forgiveness is there. There's
mm-hmm.
no judgment. There's really nothing to work out. The dogs or cats just show they set a limit, but it's with love. In fact, many animals do. I'm thinking of a story about Jojo, Dean Burnell's best friend.
Mm-hmm. Good luck to Jojo.
Yeah, and Dean Burnell shared that he's often approached by people who have a very idealized view of what unconditional love is or
mm-hmm.
joy from a dolphin. He said that Jojo has a very strong personality. And in his there was a time where someone really abused Jojo and hit Jojo over the head with the board. Mm-hmm, a water skiing instructor.
Wow.
Jojo's suffered over the years many nicks and bites, and if it weren't for Dean and taking care of Jojo, Jojo might not have still had that body he has right now.
I know he's been hit a number of times by the ski boats.
Well, the ski boats weren't being respectful of his sleeping space.
Right.
And he was getting woken up and hurt. And he started doing all kinds of jokes and tricks
mm-hmm.
and taking water skis off people. And he got his message across in a really playful way, I thought.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Really nothing to get upset about.
Right. So it was a non-judgmental boundary issue.
Yeah.
And he was demonstrating how humans might be able to approach the same dilemma.
Yeah, apparently a water skiing instructor got very mad at him one day and took the water ski and bashed him over the head.
Jeez.
Well, some people's idealized view of unconditional love would be like, that's okay. Well, that's not okay. That's not okay. It's a personal invasion. And Jojo pretty much ran that person off the island.
Uh-huh.
She couldn't swim back from her water ski boat anymore without him chasing her. She left.
Mm-hmm.
He was willing to share his island, but they weren't sharing it with him properly.
Right.
And so he made it clear it was his water.
He
was staying and she left.
That's interesting. Anybody who doubts that dolphins have personalities or memories or interactions in a very purposeful way with humans, that's a great demonstration right there.
Yeah.
And that you don't mess with Jojo.
No. And so we had people on the trip who were very good at stating their boundaries and also doing it in a loving way. So we worked with that, and we also worked with our limitlessness.
Mm-hmm.
Because while I invited people to honor their limits, I also invited them to honor it's completely fine to have limits, and if you're feeling that maybe that limit was artificially imposed on yourself by yourself, to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
To find yourself feeling unconditional joy out in the water, and everything you once thought was true and that you need or don't need or are is not necessary anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we invited people to do both.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, I invited people to do both so they could do it in an authentic way. Because when people start to be competitive and think they're letting go of their limits as like, that's the right thing to do,
mm-hmm.
That's not
new
what
limits,
it's about.
New set of limits.
Yeah, there we go.
To box within the
yeah.
box.
Yeah, so that's not what it's about. All this is really about is we're working with our bodies and our personalities and our minds to facilitate ourselves back to allowing the love that really is.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, now, this is your first experience with dolphins, and a lot of the work that you're doing parallels what others have been doing using the dolphin experience. So this is you've heard about it, you parallel, you understand it, and now this was the first time you actually took a group into the water with the dolphins. How was that for you personally, and how do you feel the dolphins responded?
It was very happy for me. All the energy that came to me on the mainland once I created that altar space and I asked that the animals come be my teachers and assist me, what is now obviously to me very real. When the dogs came, there were some weeks, maybe months, when dogs showed up at our house right and left because I invited all animals to come.
Mm-hmm.
So they came in their 3D body. When the dolphins came, in my heart and my soul, I was completely sure that it was the dolphins. Later on in my mind, I did need some validation because of a desire to know that messages I'm receiving are being received by others.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just taking my own individual experience and speaking on behalf of others.
Mm-hmm.
So it was helpful to be in the water and say, yeah, these are the beings that helped turn my cells into golden liquid and
mm-hmm.
make me know that life is fluid.
Mm-hmm.
these are the beings, and now I get to be with them in the 3D. Some people told me it's very different in the water. Maybe with the strength of those animals, you won't feel that you like it. But I did love it, and I felt very at home. I liked it. Yeah, it was great, and I do feel just as fulfilled when I'm quiet in meditation and the animals come to me on the inner planes. But some people need the outer planes more. Some people need the inner. Some people, it changes at different times in their life. So for me, it's always good to experience both, even though I'm more inwardly drawn. Not by choice, just by that's the personality and the body type I was born with this lifetime. That just seems to be the way it is for me. So it was good because I want to fully understand the clients that come to me who are very externally oriented, and that helped me. To be out in the water swimming and feel the joy of the outer and understand for some people they'll go through the outer to the inner and some people the inner to the outer and it's all fine. And that's why it takes all of us on the planet with our different personalities. But I love the water, and the water just can change you in a second. The water here, the first question we have, every day everyone had a question to contemplate and then we'd share about it. And the question was, how do I let life's love carry me? For the first day. And see, what happens in psychotherapy, if you ask clients questions, you can direct them down into very low frequency, because you say, what did your mother do that you didn't like? Well, let's get serious. I mean, how many incarnations have you had with that mother? And, you know, why did you incarnate with her? And what's your issue that she was loved? She assisted you. You two hooked up together to... We do a lot of psychodrama where I ask people to step back and try to remember before they incarnated what they agreed to teach each other.
That's a tough dilemma to get into, to go back beyond that, but that's very useful.
It's been really powerful for people. So what did you ask me?
I was just commenting on this being your first time. And you
I didn't feel like it was. I felt like I'd already been there. That's what I was getting at.
And just to make a side comment, that you chose to not get on the traditional swimming gear, flippers and mask and snorkel. Instead, you were more comfortable swimming freely with just goggles. And I hasten to remind people that you don't have to do this in any way. There isn't a dogma to swimming with dolphins other than respectfulness of their environment. You were the most comfortable swimming in that way, and you could have just as easily used something else, but when you asked me about it, I says, no, there's, we don't have rules that say you have to wear a snorkel and you have to have flippers in order. They're there for convenience, and the most convenient thing for you was to just swim freely with your goggles.
It was very healing for me because it brought back the memories of being a child and being in school and feeling so different. And I guess everyone must feel different because they're getting all these rules imposed on them. And I just like to go in the water, and I like to do flips in the water, underwater. That's what makes me happy, and I like to bob up and down, so I didn't know how I would be doing that with all the gear. And I just used my snorkel, my mask, I took everything else off, and the dolphins were there. I felt them. They changed me. They worked with my energy. They worked with my DNA. They gave me messages about ways to perceive life, and I got to see them with my eyes, too.
Well, I think it's key, again, for listeners who may be contemplating a dolphin experience, or who've had dolphin experiences, or they're looking at other people having dolphin experiences, that it's not necessary for you to try to swim with dolphins. I point out to people that it's the choice of the dolphins, because they can swim so much faster than humans, that they choose to swim with us or to be with us, or their perception will envelop us as it will. There's nothing we can do as physical humans to propel ourselves through the water at the speed of dolphins. So it's interesting, and I think it's enlightening also, that people can just bob in the water. The convenience of having a mask is that you can see the dolphins, but I've been with people who don't need to see them. They're feeling them with their body. Their skin is the largest organ, feeling the water enveloping them, and the energy is charged through the water, amplified, and they're picking up these beautiful things that you're relating right now. So I think it's important for, and your group seem to be very in tune. I must say that I've worked with a lot of groups, and your group was very sensitive to the idea that they were entering into a domain like a temple, and they were
so
very respectful.
That. we really worked on it. We worked with it on a horse one day because I was observing that tendency to chase after something.
Mm-hmm.
And when we first went out on the boat ride the very first day, my eyes were closed and I heard from the dolphins that your people need to go a notch deeper because they're looking for us and we're here and we're inside you.
Mm-hmm.
And the second they would go a notch deeper and know that we're inside you, we will appear on the outside.
Mm.
So we did a lot of singing. We did a lot of energy exercises to bond our hearts together. And then we worked with land animals a lot and plants. We spoke with them. And I asked everybody to go find a plant or an animal that was calling them.
Mm.
And to only sit with that animal or plant if the animal or plant was giving them a message they wanted them there.
Mm-hmm.
And we had people doing that, and we had a horse one day where we sent gratitude and love to the horse, and then we went to be with the horse in the 3D, in the physical body, and the horse was off eating, and people started up the routine again, the patterning, oh, let's take the horse's fence, oh, let's open the fence, let's go, and I said, no, the horse is fine, that horse is eating, that horse is doing what that horse wants to do, you'd come back home, be in your heart, and watch, the horse will come. And we centered, we got back into our own heart, and the horse walks over.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked a woman to speak with the horse, and she started telling this whole long story, and I could tell, you know what, nobody's listening to your story. The horse is going, shaking all over, and you're not listening to your story.
Yeah.
Her heart wasn't listening to her own mind ramble. And I said, what's true for you right now? I said, that horse doesn't know what you're talking about last week, and you know, when you were 3 and all that stuff. And she said, oh. And she went right into her heart, and there comes the horse over kissing her. So the next day, they were really understanding that we're not chasing anyone. There is no one to chase.
Exactly.
We're being with each other. We came to be with ourselves and be with the dolphins while we're being with ourselves and just let the our species communicate with theirs and see what transpires in love. That's all we're here to do.
It's a great lesson for everybody to do with not only horses and flowers and trees, dolphins, but with humans as well.
Yeah.
You're listening to Dolphinville Radio, dolphinville.com.
We spent some evenings, those people that felt drawn, over at Sky Ranch where we were staying for the first workshop, out on the platform. We asked that all beings of the highest love and light come to us and be with us. What I asked personally was that, if you can teach me anything about unconditional love, I'm here to learn that. And if I can teach you anything about that, I'm here to give that to you.
Mm-hmm.
And we were approached by so many beings of many different species, races, earth beings like fairies were there. We saw children. I didn't know exactly what realm they were from.
Mm-hmm.
We saw they might be children that reside on Earth. There were beings from other galaxies and planets, I'm pretty sure. Yes, there were. I can feel it right now. And they were talking to us, and we were comparing notes.
Mm-hmm.
A few of us compared. We were seeing the same pictures at the same time. We were getting similar messages.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Help the audience understand what that experience is like. If you're sitting in circle and you're drawing upon this, it comes as an impulse. You were saying the cat talks to you as intention, and then that filters through and becomes a linear description, binary coding of words.
Yes, you got it.
Was it the same type of experience?
The intention comes through your heart, and an image is shown, and an energetic experience is given, and words are given. All of that is happening, and visuals are given all at once.
Okay.
We're actually doing that with each other as human beings,
mm-hmm.
but we've gotten over. We've gotten a little stuck over in the intellectual mind realm, so we fail to notice we're doing that all day.
Mm-hmm.
But I was telling you before we started taping that sometimes. I just call people up when I'm organizing an event. I call people up when I need to, so I always know, because all of a sudden someone will pop in my head and I call them, hey, you know, you're going to be assisting and I thought we should talk about what feelings you're having coming up about assisting. They're like, man, I was just talking to you. That happens to me all the time, and it happens to everyone all the time, but they disregard it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you feel someone thinking about you, it's because you two are thinking about each other and you're having a real conversation. Whether you pick up the email or phone, you're actually in communication with each other. So when we were sitting in circle, what we're receiving is visual images, energetic intentions, experiences being given to us or co-created by us with other species, and words. And so the first night I was just taken into, I was totally enveloped into my heart, and all I was light and love in my heart, and I was suspended in space in my personal experience, and the beings told me, you have to give up your attachment to humans And I'm questioning if I should even say this on the radio, because lately, after like all my life of sharing everything with everyone, because that's just my nature, I've become very quiet lately because I'm having many sacred experiences, and I'm sharing them with people who are turning them into something with their mind. It's happening to me repeatedly, and so I'm a little more hesitant to share, but a stronger part of me feels that every time someone shares something that inspired them and I hear it, it has the potential to assist me. I wouldn't be here today if Joan hadn't written her book, if Penelope Smith hadn't written her book, if Gina Palmer hadn't been my teacher, if I hadn't run into the people who are up with the Nandi Ma up north. All these people were talking about things that I was experiencing, but I couldn't put it into language yet or say it out loud because I thought that I was nuts. And so my heart feels like I like to share. And I guess what I'm asking of the listener is, before you take what I'm sharing and interpret it into whatever your mind thinks, because I shared this with someone and she didn't know what I was talking about. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, why would you give up your attachment to humans? You can't. And it's not an intellectual exercise. The message was given to my heart for me to contemplate through my heart what it meant.
Mm.
And I am a human, and I'm not. And you're a human, and you're something else. And we're all humans. We're also light beings who incarnated into human bodies at this time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's one person on this planet who's only a human. That's impossible.
Yeah.
And that's what those beings were saying. They're saying, Lori, and subtle levels that you haven't even noticed, you are identifying with what you think is the human world. They didn't mean like don't love your boyfriend or, you know, don't go to the grocery store, quit eating. It was nothing extreme. It was just like, remember at all times that you are the light, and then live out your human life with complete passion. That's what they were. That's what my heart felt from them.
That's sweet and wonderful.
Yeah. So.
Well, let's take this opportunity. We'll just break for a little bit and give the listeners time to digest some of the things that we've said. And we'll come back and we'll cover some of the other points and things that you experienced with your workshop, and share your wonderful energy with the audience, because it's got me going here. So thanks for listening. We'll be back in just after a short break here. Aloha. You're listening to Dolphinville Radio, www.dolphinville.com. Thanks for listening. Okay, we're back with Dr. Lori Moore from Santa Cruz, California, who's been here in Hawaii experiencing, you know, the wonders of this magical island. And she's been really giving us some profound information. We were just talking at the break here about how it's really an expression of her multidimensional being. And these are the kinds of things that we're coming to terms with. The whole leading edge of human consciousness is trying to understand and recognize what it's like to operate and function on a multidimensional level. We're not just a three-dimensional being experiencing a three-dimensional world. We know now that we are much more than that. And how do we tap into that? Well, these are some of the ways. And thanks to people like Dr. Lori Moore, we're understanding and having more tools to expand our awareness into really what it's like to be a multidimensional being experiencing this human dimensional existence. So thanks for sharing that, Lori.
Thank you. I had a lot of assistance from the cats once I got into the island. It started over at Joan Ocean's house when Lemuria introduced herself.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Lemuria is 18 years old.
Yeah.
Lemuria introduced herself and told me right away that her life purpose is to be a visionary. She touched me very deeply. She immediately showed me a picture of a diamond light that was inside her and everything just spreading out to everyone. She was very attentive to all my people. She took care of us. She has a very loud voice. She calls, and when we were out on the platform and she needed to be in touch with us, we'd get a call from her. She's a very profound woman, an elderly woman, and she's living in a body that has arthritis. And she's doing it so gracefully. She explained to me that she's in complete touch with her bliss on her soul level and that it is a challenge. As she explained it, some of the energies in her physical body were spinning in the wrong way. Now, the cats talk about illness and problems with the body. They don't use the word illness the way we do. They don't even use it. What they talk about is harmony and disharmony. And so they explain the body as if the chords are playing the right music, it's in harmony. If it's spinning in the right timings with each other, it's the right harmony. So they're not having the kind of resistance to pain that we have, but they do have inclinations to heal it if they can.
Mm-hmm.
So she was, she just touched me so deeply how she lived this beautiful soul visionary life, completely dedicated to her purpose. And working very deeply with Joan Ocean side by side and in that sweetness, and also enduring this physical reality that's hard, that would be challenging for anyone, yet choosing to remain. She does plan to be here for a while longer, in the body she's living.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm actually going to send her a present because I have some homeopathic remedy that cats can use for arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to give something to her. I just loved her so much. She was amazing. And then we had another cat there who was assisting us named Sky. Now, I was very fascinated because his genealogy was similar to two other white cats with blue eyes that I met. They had a very similar face, and they all have the same purpose. Their purpose is to protect the sacred inner world. And he was quite clear about that. And so at all times, they remain in this inner sacred kind of magic palace while they're here on Earth. And they're protecting that so that it's always safe. So I don't know why it is that three cats that have said that to me have very similar characteristics.
Mm.
I'm just curious about it. I remember Penelope Smith ran into quite a lot of orange cats who had the same purpose. So I don't know what to make of that, just that it's curious to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're showing you, and obviously the familiars that the Egyptians used to use cats to connect them up to the other dimensional realms. And throughout history, we've always associated cats with magic and black
yeah.
magic and white magic. And
yeah.
Sky, for the listening audience, is a pure white cat.
Yeah.
And with these stone-cold eyes that are blue in nature, and is so often the case with cats born like that, it has no hearing. So it functions entirely without the sense of hearing.
Yeah.
And yet it's a profound, I wonder daily why it's not run over in the driveway because it's always laying around the cars, but it survives very well.
Yes, you can feel those vibrations. But
mm-hmm.
Actually, if you put a picture up on dolphinville.com when you announce this radio show, I'll send you the picture of me and Sky because the first night I was there, he came into the bed and we just curled up together and it was such a great welcoming and Ray took a picture of us. He
cool.
was just such a great greeter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, can you imagine if humans greeted you like that? You would get a little nervous. But
right, yeah,
we
I
let
think
the
so.
Animals do that.
Yeah,
at
yeah.
least at this time in history, we get a little nervous
about this. Yeah,
just curl
up in bed with
us. So anyway, the cats really were great ambassadors preparing us to work with the dolphins. In fact, your cat, Orca, had a long chat with me yesterday and instructed me to go down to Hoakina. Is that how it's pronounced?
Hoakina Beach.
Hoakina Beach. I wasn't planning on going to the beach yesterday. I was taking a day off and just going into a kind of reclusive after teaching so much.
Mm-hmm.
But at 4 o'clock, I was instructed by Orca to get in the car and go down there, and of course the spinner dolphins were there. So the cats know what's going on.
Yeah.
They're pretty much monitoring all thoughts. They take all thoughts. Let me talk about Orca. Orca's at a very, very high level of oneness experience. And maybe high is not the good word, so let's say tuned in. And Orca is experiencing all thoughts that enter the house, no matter whose mind they're in, as being his, and he's assisting with whatever the thoughts are. So he's very dedicated to their well-being, and he has no judgments of everyone. He lives in a state of complete acceptance. He has no agendas. And I'm not saying all animals are like that, because that's not my experience. But he doesn't seem to have any agendas other than his sole purpose, which is to serve, and his primary purpose is to assist you.
Mm-hmm.
He told me, you know, with your journey and your
mm-hmm.
learning. Yeah.
And he's quite the guy.
Yes, he's a great guy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We had experiences with all kinds of animals. They showed up whenever we needed them. We were dealing with an issue of self-worth, and a dog came running in out of nowhere who decided to start coming to a number of the circles of the workshops. He had a physical challenge, this dog, and he was out on the deck dancing up a storm with us. And he made it very clear to us that we are not our physical limitations or our mental or emotional limitations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We had a whole squad of little baby grasshoppers as you were giving the talk,
mm-hmm.
Teaching people about snorkeling and how to get into the water with the dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
They were all there watching very carefully. The day before, a big grasshopper had jumped right to my foot. And I've noticed that when the grasshoppers show up, people are about to take a leap. And those little baby grasshoppers, they were all watching, and finally one took a jump, and they
mm-hmm.
all started moving. And that's what happened with our group.
Mm-hmm.
We mm-hmm. took some very big jumps.
Mm-hmm.
People took some very big jumps into sacred places in their heart, deeper than I think they had been for a while.
Mm.
And I was just delighted that so many animals were here to help us.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, again, it's keen observation that allows us to look at the world around us and nature, and take the cues that are being given to us to give us the feedback about what we're doing on these multidimensional levels. So, you know, I remember the baby grasshoppers, and we're talking things that were no bigger than, you know, mosquitoes.
Yeah.
They're just tiny little green
yeah.
things, and there was a cluster of them right on the
yeah.
rock below my feet. It
yeah.
was really, and for you to even see them was remarkable because, you know, they're almost invisible.
Yeah.
And yet there they were, and your observation at that time was keen to being able to help people shift their awareness to another level of thinking of themselves in relationship to what they were doing and the world around them and the ocean and everything that was going on.
Yeah,
so it was really quite profound.
It was, and before I left, I was wondering what will happen when I don't teach my seminars in our home, and what if we were to move to Hawaii, and how will that be, because we have an owl who assists us, three hawks on the property, deers, rabbits, lizards, all kinds of birds, lots of hummingbirds. Of course, Jesse, Justin, Joy will move with us, but the rest wouldn't. And I thought, what will I do in Hawaii? Because those animals, they help me. And when we start singing at home, the birds sing along.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, when at the seminar, I was singing this song, and I thought, oh, my God, that's what is that? So I heard someone playing an instrument that was in syncopation with my singing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a bird whistle. And it kept going and going and going. And I stopped, and the song stopped. And I went to look behind the sofa where I thought, an assistant, Ken, had this bird whistle and he was sleeping.
Uh-huh.
And the bird was singing in tune with us.
Wow.
And so they did. They sang with us. And I'm hoping it came out on the footage, because they sang
mm-hmm.
with us at Dragonfly Ranch. And they sang with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you also said that the animals...
You hear? See? Yeah. And they come and affirm, as you know. They always affirm when you're in the right place. They affirm it.
We always hear the gecko speaking and coming in at moments. But you also said something that the animals shared with you on the mainland was that they would never... You won't be leaving them.
Yes, because I thought, what will I do? And they said, Lori, if you need to go somewhere else, we will be with you. And my heart knew what they meant, and that my mind started to say, how could you be with me? You're not going to get on an airplane. I said, stop. They said they will be with you. They'll be with you. Mm-hmm. The animals work in a big web all over the planet, and they can show up in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. And if you have a tie with one, I mean, you just enjoy. And I have stayed in touch the whole time I'm here, of course. Me and Ray were missing him a lot, but he was also with us on one level. Yeah. We wanted to share about the first ride out with the dolphins, and about four women, including myself. We were really, really surprised because we saw temples and we saw three goddesses. Mm. We saw portals. We saw the dolphins sending us these circle pictures with all these colors, designs. We saw them sending us images of who we are reflected back to us through vibration and tone. Mm. It's a new way of understanding who I am. Mm-hmm. And then all along, every time I went out there, I just stare because there's these temples, these like pyramid things all around the bay. Mm-hmm. And because other people were seeing them, I just became aware after talking to you and what everyone was seeing that we were in the fifth dimension.
Right.
And that all the yearning, but back on the mainland, I'm yearning, and all these messages are coming, and these beings are coming to my house, and they're telling me we're getting there, we're going to be in the fifth dimension, and, you know, I'm writing the articles, and people are coming and listening to me, but I'm feeling kind of lonely, because I was feeling like I was a teacher, and I loved that, but I was thinking, but where's the community? Because I'm supposed to be part of the community, where everyone's aware of this. And then we came over here, and all those clients, all of a sudden, we were all each other's teachers. And all these people I'm meeting in Hawaii, they're experiencing this. And we are in the fifth dimension. And what happens at home is, me and Ray created our home into like a sacred temple. And when you go there, you feel like you're in the fifth dimension. And then you go into town. And it's confusing because, like, I start talking to someone and I'm saying, it's amazing. And they're like, what do you mean? I remember I was getting my hair cut. I'm like, can you believe it? It's amazing. Unconditional bliss. And we're in the fifth dimension. She's like, what? The world's falling apart. Didn't you know it's the worst time in history? And I'm like, what? But it drags my energy down. The more I hear that stuff, I feel like I'm like leading a campaign, or I'm trying to keep energy up. And then I come here, there's nothing to keep up. The water keeps me up. The land keeps me up. Mm-hmm. Everyone's in the fifth dimension. Mm-hmm. And it's here. It got born, and you can see it. You can see the temples out there. That's what I've been waiting for. And I've just been carried the whole time. Mm-hmm. Even the water carries you here. You don't sink.
Right.
I said, how can those people go out? I said, I'm not going to be swimming out there for hours. How can that doesn't make any sense. You're not really doing anything. The water does it for you. Right. Everything's so different.
Well, you're so supported. You know, the water is the beautiful metaphor for spirit. And spirit is so vital here. It hasn't been trampled down or mowed over or been built upon. The spirit of the land is very vital here, and it's more still has more vitality than any of the human elements. So to get in touch with that, as you already are, you're in the...
Lemuria's here.
Yeah.
We're back.
Yeah, exactly.
We're here. Yeah. I went up to Pele, and the first thing I asked, I sat on the grass, and I said, okay, Pele, are you a fable or are you real? And Pele's real. So I got menstrual cramps that day, and I had a much more deeper experience of what the cats have been telling me about disharmony.
Mm.
Because once I was up there, I could not maintain the illusion of solidity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand where that illusion's come from, but I know that most people travel in it, and that I tend to think the body that I'm utilizing is solid. It's not at all. It's completely fluid, and up there, I could only be aware of every single cell moving at all times. Mm-hmm. And so I understood the menstrual cramps were a disharmony in a way of movement. I'm sure there's a ways to spin the chakras and change that movement to heal them, but up there I didn't know what they were, and I didn't know how mm-hmm. to address it. But what I did experience was that while I was in disharmony, I was in deep peace. So even though it's my preference to be in harmony, it was not a problem to be in disharmony. I was in gratitude to feel so alive.
Well, think of the flow of the lava that is heading down to the ocean.
Yes.
Giant plumes of sulfur dioxide going up. Pele herself is expressing the same menstrual cycle that you were experiencing.
Yes.
So there was a beautiful kind of simpatico from what you were experiencing internally and what was going on with the Mother Earth demonstrating the same thing. And, you know, disharmony is the other side of harmony. We need both of those aspects of our being in order for either to exist. So perhaps the pain and distress of having a menstrual cycle that is painful, or childbirth with itself is not a very, it's a painful process, but what comes out of it is this beautiful result. So, the cycle that she's going, the bleeding of her own internal lava flows into the ocean, may be a disharmonious fire and brimstone kind of thing that she's expressing, but the outcome is more earth, the newest earth on earth. And the plumes that are skyrocketing into the sky as it hits the ocean are creating another gaseous expression of that, turning from one state into another. So you're transforming.
Yeah, so it can be like a
harmony
growing,
and disharmony.
Like
disharmony,
a growing pain,
Precisely.
And so there's a reality we live in which that is constantly occurring. When we're taking things, or they're brought to our attention through disharmony, and we're transforming them. And then we're being made aware, I'm getting constant messages of other realities where the learnings and transitions can come in without the growing pain.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as the growing pains are here, it's good to be grateful for them and to hold the space open that maybe these messages coming in are real and not just an idea of like I'm going to escape all pain. Maybe there is a reality trying to birth itself in where all does come through joy. When some people moved over here a few years ago from Santa Cruz and they wrote a newsletter back about once a month, it was very beautiful, long story. But one thing that was intriguing to me was that they, too, were shown their ego very blatantly. And I find on the island, I don't need to have anything happen in real life to bring to my attention the places where my ego is out of balance and I'm not aware of it. There's a screen playing in front of my mind, inside my mind all day long. And it's constantly showing me everything that's not love.
Hmm.
And there's a lot of things that aren't love in my ego that were even subtle that I didn't notice. And even though on the mainland I'm being very attentive to that and working with that all the time, here it got accelerated. Well, they said when they came over it was horrible for them because they had to see things about themselves they didn't like. But what I want to say is it's wonderful because the island's totally forgiving.
Yeah.
And I saw all these things, but I was no longer holding in it as I don't like it. I was like, oh, that's interesting. Okay, I can let that go,
go.
Oh, this one's really deep in my DNA. I don't know how to let it go. Mother Earth, sky, water, would you release it from me? Yes, we can do that. And here's a deeper one. I don't know how to release it yet. And that's a clue to me. I'm going to be having a great learning experience because if I can't release it, there's something that's still being brought to my attention.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why in the therapy realm, the only kind of work I want to do now is people who want to manifest, like I was saying before, and release. Because there's nothing else to do or talk about. If you want to transition, you have to get clear about what you want to create. If you want to create anything that's not unconditional, that's accepted and forgiven and okay, but I'm not going near it because I don't want to be in any more sticky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to incarnate 45 times, over that kind of stuff. It's not worth it to me. I want to be in the unconditional realm and keep letting... The body doesn't know how to do that because our body is full of our ancestors and we are our ancestors and the DNA that made all this stuff up. So we're looking for tools. There's Margaret Ruby's DNA possibilities. I'm encountering more and more physical tools. Devices that make the chakras spin at the right rotation, all kinds of stuff. But all kinds of people are coming forth now with new tools.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we assist our bodies,
right.
Supplements, all kinds of things to hold the new ways? Because the body is very strong, and it thinks it's gotten programmed, and it thinks the old ways are true. Sometimes,
mm-hmm.
even when your soul is saying one thing, your body's saying another. So these workshops, because I know there's all these techniques, and I'm all for them. I've used them for myself. People have used them on me. But I know it can be more simple. And these workshops are to take us to a place of such love that can all come in, that those operations of light can... I was operated on, I was cleared. I was out there with those beings on the platform, and they came in, they took so much out of me that I didn't need, that was in my cells. When we take ourselves to these loving, high vibrational, open places, those clearings can happen naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And our body will be getting assistance on how to catch up. And all the tools are wonderful too,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just trying to create an arena that makes us all receptive
mm-hmm.
to the changes that are being invited of our personality bodies, so that our personality bodies can be expressions of our souls.
Hmm.
Rather than feel like they're holding our souls back before all these stargates and portals open, I think that was part of humanity's task, was
mm-hmm.
to feel held back and know what that felt like. And now there's a whole new task that's come in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you feel like to me to be a trailblazer, somebody who's forging new territory so the rest of us can follow and bring about a new understanding in this realm of human consciousness. In the last 10 minutes or so that we have of the show, Lori, I'd like to, you know, just sort of like kind of wrap up where you think your work is going to be going. I know some of the ideas about where you might be moving and being open and something that you might share with where you think the whole human drama is unfolding from your perspective.
Well, my work is definitely now going to be fully centered around groups of people and animals and sea animals, land animals, and other dimensional beings.
Mm-hmm.
I will be teaching more and more seminars in Hawaii, in California, and soon in Tonga. We're scheduling one for Tonga.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's for the whales, specifically to go down for
the
humpback whales.
Yeah.
Southern humpback.
Yeah, 2006 September. I'm going to be offering these seminars to assist people with unconditional awakening.
Mm-hmm.
What's different about my work, because I spent so many times with the gurus and the ashrams, and then I spent so much time with like the therapists and the goal-oriented people, is I'm both. I'm right
mm-hmm.
in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So you come to my work because you want to be in a new interstate, but you also want to be in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I've come to value being in the world more than ever after these 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I always had an idea like, you know, if I just left and went into meditation for the rest of my life, that would be just as good for me to do. No one needs me to do this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I no longer believe that. We all have a beautiful contribution to make.
Mm-hmm.
And we do need to give it to each other. And that's not a guilt trip, because if you're giving a contribution, you're in such joy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a pressure, or like, this is my responsibility. Yeah, it's my responsibility. It's my
mm-hmm.
ability to respond. I'm in love when I'm doing my work.
Right.
I could not be happier. And I really came to see that my judgments of myself as a human being with an ego could be relinquished now. And I could forgive myself and be happy that I get to be a human and do the work that I get to do. And in all honesty, one person who brought this to my attention was someone who has a great enlightenment thing going in Santa Cruz, and their aura and their space and blah, blah, blah. And it's all true. They have a very high frequency. And this person feels kind of beyond goals. And this person doesn't have goals. And this person always checks in with me at my workshops. Well, I don't have goals. Can I be here? Of course you can be here. If you want to be in this space of energy, that's the greatest goal in the world. Just
mm-hmm.
be.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe, like, this person is just being. I hope I can get to that level.
Mm.
But then this person came to the workshop in Hawaii. And this, it couldn't hold. Any of it didn't hold. You know,
mm-hmm.
their unconditional love with great judgment of others, their ability to be happy was highly influenced by having to have things be very specifically their way. They were in anger states a lot. And that's all fine. That's their growing. And I love them and I accept them. And what it brought to my attention was that a lot of times we can set up things so that we can be in what we think is a really wonderful high state. But you know the saying, it's like, if you think you're enlightened, go visit your biological family. And I kind of feel like, well, if you think you're enlightened, have a job, be in a relationship, have some friends, you know, do anything. And so there's no right or wrong. That's a fine way to live. But for me, while I'm human in this incarnation, I only get to be Lori Moore once.
Right.
I want to live it up in both ways.
Mm-hmm.
I want to keep noting my ego so it can be absorbed into the light, but I don't want to resist it. If my ego says, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to lead 100 seminars and I'm going to be proud of myself,
uh-huh.
I'm going to do it. And it's in doing that it lifts and everything feels light. And I'm like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All that really mattered was the joy. Mm-hmm. But if I had sat home and say, well, I'm above all this, so I'm just going to be in joy, I'm feeling kind of sinking already. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, sure.
So I think the kind of people who will like my work and be happy at the seminars have a deep inclination towards devotion and love and just sitting and being in nothing, and also have a desire to create a life that's miraculous in terms of work in the world. And work in the world just means what you're doing, what you're sharing. It doesn't have to mean degrees. It might for some people. It doesn't have to mean you make tons of money. It might for some people. It's all fine. But it means an active participation among the other folks. And people come because they do have goals. They want to experience a partner relationship that feels very blissful to them. They want to, many of them do want financial prosperity. It's a real blend of the inner and the outer. And for the first time in my life, thanks to this island and all the love that came from everyone and everything, that's okay with me. I'm no longer in judgment about myself about mm-hmm. that. And many people aren't in judgment to begin with. They're just like, come on, you know, let's go, let's make money, let's have a great job, let's get married, let's have kids, blah, blah, blah. And other people are, let's just be. And I'm really in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, I had to work through some judgment about that. Let's see, there's something else I wanted to say. I wanted to backtrack. I don't know if I completely explained that the Dr. Lori Moore and Klein's video is a comedy. I got sidetracked.
You said it was a comedy. Okay. You should give the title. Perhaps you could tell the audience what the funny part of that is.
Well, I got to play four different people. I played myself. And I played myself as this therapist who would be very gentle and happy, and then finally my frustration point would hit. And it's pretty funny. And then I played three different people I made up, and I was dressed up totally differently for each person. They were all just three different women. They looked completely different, mm-hmm. and we had a makeup artist.
Mm-hmm.
But all of them were, like, really stuck. One was stuck in analyzing herself and using the DSM-4 Book of Code. So, and it's just funny. I think anyone could look at it, including myself, and reflect upon the humor when we do get stuck. I wanted to thank all the people on the island, as well as the sun, the air, the water, the land, the dolphins, the cats, that horse, the dragonflies helped us, the grasshoppers, a praying mantis, there were birds. But I wanted to thank you very much. Everyone was delighted with all the wonderful energy. You're very rooted here. You bring the energy of the sea world and the land. So people felt that. Really appreciate it.
I never know what I'm going to say to your groups, or if I just have a basic idea of what I understand about what's happening here. But it's your group who fulfills what it is that I can say. And so they were wide open. They were very receptive to the type of information that I could share with them. And it was really heartening to see them give me back the energy in their eyes and, you know, in the words and support from there. So it really fulfilled me to be able to do that as well. So my gratitude goes to you and your group for just making this whole experience a delight and completing the circle of awareness that, you know, links Santa Cruz and the people from the West Coast with what's happening here in Hawaii, and obviously expanding out to what's happening on a planetary scale.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to more opportunities to share time and space, with your groups in the future. So,
thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us here at Dolphinville.
Thank you.
Right. Bye-bye, everybody, and we'll be back next time. Till then, be well and swim free. This is Dolphinus. See ya.
Your human soul. You've been listening to Dolphinville Radio, www.dolphinville.com. Thanks for listening.